The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another microsode here at Flame On. I am Pat, your talking bearskin rug. I'm joined today with our host and fearless leader, Brian.
Hello.
And two very special guests who were actually in our neck of the woods just a couple of weekends ago. We have Steve and Jason. How you boys doing?
Good. Doing very well, thank you.
How you be?
Are you doing Gouda?
Doing Gouda.
Cheese is addictive. You know, you can get a habit. Cheese is habit forming.
It is.
You end up in prehab? I stole that one from Peter Sagal.
Lordy.
It's party.
Well, Steve, some of you may know as one of our more vocal Flame On listener contributors and sharers and posters and commenters on our Twitter and our Facebook page. And he is also a, I can't think of a bear pun for partner in crime. Bear partner in crime to Brian on the Comic Book Bears podcast.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Where we talk for hours and hours and hours about comics.
And hours and hours.
Late into the night, early into the next morning. All about comics.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys do that because I couldn't. I couldn't. That's more comics than I can handle. I can barely get through through the Flame On comic book section sometimes because I don't read enough of them. So I'm like, I'm lost and confused.
It's a tough slog.
And you probably have more knowledge than I do, so I just shake my head.
And that is the voice of Jason, who is Steve's husband and another one of our really good friends. And you boys were down in Orlando. You came and visited us for Bear Bust Weekend.
Ah, yes.
Which was a multi-purpose, multi-faceted vacation getaway for you guys. You guys came down and stayed with us starting on Thursday the 15th.
And, I think it was the 15th, yeah.
You would think that I would know these dates. I mean, for the amount of times I had to talk about Bear Bust, you would think that I knew all these dates, like, ingrained into my head. You came down on the 15th.
Well, you know, I'm sure the day after it was just sort of like everything just decompressed. And
sadly, it wasn't until, I think, either Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, because I had to go back and finish up and take care of stuff on Monday. Yeah, it's like a never-ending cycle of misery and fun. But you guys came down partly to get away from North Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a mean way. I just mean a nice little October getaway from the beautiful state of North Carolina down to the sunny 80-degree weather of Orlando.
I got to wear shorts again. It was lovely.
Oh.
And flip-flops.
Right? I mean, it's that's one of the things that people don't really, I think, understand about, or they do, but they kind of block it out, because if you're from anywhere outside of a warm climate environment, when October rolls around, you are prepping, you know, the salt and getting your cold weather clothes out, and then in Florida, we're still sweating our balls off down here.
Luckily, North Carolina is pretty mild, so we don't have to worry about the heavy parkas, but...
Oh, well, that's good. Maybe I can be like, I'll be the reverse snowbird. I'll go up to North Carolina where it's moderate during the winter so I can feel like I've actually got seasons again as opposed to here.
The season never ends.
It is actually quite pretty right now. I never say that about fall because I hate fall, but the colors are really beautiful.
Why
right now.
Do you hate fall? What did fall ever do to you?
Fall is the predecessor to winter, which is cold and miserable, and the sun goes away, and I get the sads.
Oh, I understand. Seasonal is, what is it called? Seasonal affective disorder?
Seasonal affect disorder.
Yeah. Like, I totally understand that, having spent enough time in Rhode Island, in New England area in the winter, and just, yeah, you don't see the sun. You understand.
New England winter is the worst. It is the worst.
But you understand why it's called New England. I mean, you think about England and London fog and the rains and the everything, and it's that in spades. But, you know, I just don't get enough of it, so I don't feel as depressed. But like that week I'm up there by the end, I'm like, okay, I kind of understand.
But, yeah, my mom sent me one of those special lights last year.
Wow. Oh, wow. Really?
I sit in front of the little light. It shines on my face.
Well, if that helped, it does help.
Yeah. I also work underneath an alt light, so that helps too. But that little, it does help.
So Bear Bust, we've talked about it a little bit on, I know Comic Bears, I always am plugging it at the end of the episode for our Wolf of the Week. This is an event that's been going on for 25 years, and it is a bear event or bear run, they're typically called, where you have bears from all over the country, potentially all over the world, coming together to have a weekend of fun in different ways, depending on how or what you're into. For myself, and I think for you guys, it was just, you know, hanging out with people, meeting new people, talking, going to see some musicians that were invited down this year to celebrate the 25th anniversary. And, I mean, there was pool parties. There was alcohol, by the way. There's a little bit of drinking happening. Yeah, a lot, actually. No, it was overall a great event. Good numbers all around. And everyone I think Pat talked to, I know, had a great time. In fact, he's gotten a lot of good feedback afterwards, pretty much entirely like, yes, this is great. We're so glad you're doing this. We're so glad Bear Bust is alive again. Because for a few years, it kind of went away.
It didn't go away.
It shrank back into a...
It changed...
Chrysalis of a
transformation. Not, well, owners in essence, but the Bears of Central Florida used to run the event for the majority of its run. I believe the first couple of years... There's a lot of disagreement over the first few years of Bear Bust.
It's an oral history, if you will.
Yes, it's a very oral history. But the Bears of Central Florida ran it for the majority of its lifespan. And then when they dissolved in 2011, late 2011, they ended up selling all the rights. Because they were a 501c3, they were a bear group. But they sold off all of the rights to, because they had the trademark and everything, to the Parliament House. And Tim, who's the resort manager there, who is in charge of all of the events that go through that establishment, had the unenviable task of having to now put together a 4-day bear event right after Pride. Because Pride used to be 2 weeks before it, and then it moved to a week before it, and it just... It kind of, you know, made things a bit crazy. But like any time that, you know, something changes, leadership or ownership, you kind of have those period, you know, that little bit of time where it shrinks in what the scope is while they kind of figure out what's going on.
Transforms.
Yes.
Like I said.
Yes.
But transitional transformation.
Yes.
Well, I have to say, for the first Bear Bust that I've been to, or at least especially this one, you didn't see any transitional transformational period. This Bear Bust was amazing. All, you know, when we were there, just the well, for one thing, the amount of people that were there having a great time, but also just the amount of different events, the number of different guests that were brought in for it, musical guests, drag guests. It was pretty fantastic.
Jason, so, what was your favorite part? I know what you're going to say.
My favorite part?
Uh-huh.
It was Varla Jean Merman.
There you have it. So I will admit, I didn't know who Varla Jean was before I watched Girls Will Be Girls. And I think, Pat, you're the one who actually told me about it. And I think I had heard of the movie, but I never bothered to watch it. And then for some reason, I decided, okay, well, I'll watch it. And Varla Jean was amazing. Like, she's probably one of the best parts of that movie, although Coco Peru is pretty great, too. But no, it's if you've never checked her out before in person, you can probably go on YouTube or online and find a bunch of clips and things of her stuff just to get an idea. But
Varla does a – not so much – there's hasn't been a whole lot of new ones recently, but there's a whole library of music videos that she does.
The Dark Lady.
The Dark Lady is amazing.
Does she do the probably satire, like – singing the like other words to it, or did she just do
she sings the whole, she sings everyone and reenacts these amazing scenes. They will make you laugh. Fantastic.
It's not like she doesn't rewrite the song.
Okay
It's more of a
some of the songs she does rewrite. She changes the words,
some of them she does, but some of the bigger ones, like Dark Lady, I don't believe she does. And there's she does Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of them that are like the bigger, like more popular songs that it's really more of a parody video.
Right.
Than it is a parody song.
Yeah.
But sung as Varla Jean Merman. So it always just sounds like it's a parody.
And she's got a campy, I don't know how to.
Well, there's always lots of drugs and sex and crazy things going on.
True.
What would you describe her?
She is a big whore.
Well, she's a big black hole. The her voice, she goes for almost a Carol Channing at times, but there's also other things in it that I can't quite place. But you know, she kind of talks like this a little bit. I mean, she has that like kind of affected. She's not just a brash, loud drag. She's not just a brash, loud drag queen, but she has like that old Hollywood influence in there. Yeah. You know.
She definitely takes a lot of influence from old Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you really see that in Where Girls Will Be Girls a little bit as well. And Coco Peru, same kind of thing. Like they both seem to have that kind of same DNA. But this appearance, which we weren't sure and we didn't know, Jason, you have a connection with, but we did not know it would be her new show that she is basically taking on tour, right?
She does a new show every year because she spends the summer. She has a summer residency in Provincetown. Mm-hmm. So, like a lot of drag queens,
everybody does.
Well, yeah. Well, especially now,
Margaret Cho.
Well, every
Bianca Del Rio
that seems to do a show in Provincetown every summer.
Yeah,
definitely ever since I think season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. You have your staples. You've got Dina Martina. You've got Miss Richfield 1981.
That chick from the Orbitz commercials.
Yeah. That's,
which that's I Miss never. Richfield. And then we finally went, oh, that's okay.
Yeah. And Varla, those are kind of your staples. And you have some of the other local queens like Liza Lott and some of the other girls that are there. But ever since RuPaul's Drag Race season 6 came around, a lot of the girls have started taking up residency there. This past summer, you had Courtney Act doing Boys Like Me. You had Bianca doing her show up there for, I think, about 3 weeks.
Did she do Rolodex of Hate?
I think she did the Rolodex of Hate up there. She was there for a while in Provincetown, probably at least 2 weeks. And then you also had Jinx, who this is her second summer.
Didn't Ben do her show up there a little bit?
Ben did a short run in Provincetown.
Okay.
Jinx did the Inevitable concert this year versus doing the Vaudevillians, which is what she did last year.
Okay.
So she actually got to do a concert show. But back to the actual subject at hand, before I list off all the queens and what their schedules were for this past year.
We're taking a few diversions this episode. It's loosely all organized around Bear Bust, but with diversions.
Exactly. Well, it's talking about all the great things that were there and where you can see them now. But yeah, Varla's show, Big Black Hole, was her new one for this year. And when we booked her to do a show, I needed to get them information about the theater, how many people it held, how big the stage was. And then the final thing was, can we suspend a rope from the ceiling for the rope climb?
Which is such a bummer that she couldn't.
I know. But God help us if that roof collapsed any more than it already is.
What you may not understand about the Parliament House is it is a older building or set of buildings, and from the 60s even, or late 60s, that theater, I think that theater came on a little later.
That theater came on much later,
because
75 was when it became the Parliament House.
Okay. Oh, so that's
that
right.
That was at the
that's
early right. 90s, they built out the theater.
But it's an old Econo Lodge, or it's an old travel motel. And so some of the things are a little older, and you know, you, they're beautifully refurbished, but yeah, I wouldn't want to have a rope attached to that ceiling. And
well, I mean, I was just kind of blown away. I had no idea what to expect about the Parliament House. I'd heard a little bit about it, but I didn't really know what to expect. But then knowing there was an actual theater, and then a couple different club spaces and all these other things, it was much bigger than I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you hear all the stories, and then you get to see the actual space in person. And you're like, okay, the stories really do make sense, but damn, there's a lot more here.
Yeah,
and it's. I mean, I really, in terms of the show, I thought it was going to be like most of the places, you know, clubs that you know that have a drag show where they just kind of clear out part of the dance floor.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they do
perform in that spot. So it was really cool to actually have an actual stage.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
They do that on Sunday for the tea dance show, because they have tea dance from like 4 to 9 or 3 to 9, something along those lines. But they'll do their 7 o'clock, and it's almost kind of like a review. And they'll have stage pieces in the disco, and do a show in the disco. But then every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they do all their shows in the theater, so it's actually got that full stage setup. But
and you guys got to experience one of our Footlight Theater shows.
Oh yeah!
With our male dance review, which it sounds it sounds more titillating than it usually is. But we have male dancers to open and close each show, and then the drag queens in between. And you also got to see not the usual MC Darcell. But Lee Shannon was the guest host for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she's an Orlando drag legend here. I mean, she's been doing drag for a few years. And she was great. She was really fun. She had a great rapport with the audience. And her performance number was some country song. I don't remember. A Redneck Woman. Is that what it was?
Redneck Woman.
Yep.
which honestly was probably the best rendition of that. That karaoke staple in the Carolinas. Basically, you can't do a karaoke show anywhere in the kids or any kind of karaoke night without at least 5 or 6 women getting up at some point and doing Redneck Woman.
I'm so sorry.
And hearing and seeing it being done by a fantastic drag queen was probably, you know, the best version I've ever seen.
And I was sad because, again, other than that, I mean, the usual, like, Giselle Barbie Royale was one of the performers there. Chantel DeMarco was performed, but you didn't get to see Sonique, who I had told you is a cast member now, and she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's been doing great stuff. Season 2 from RuPaul. And a big geek, which one of these days we're going to sit down and grab her for Drag Is New Spandex, because she still goes to comic conventions and still collects, like, this and that, like... You know, I mean, we've brought on some of the geekier queens, but I mean, she's one that we just had no idea. You know what I mean? It was like a glorious discovery, you know, to find that out.
Until you're around her and her phone goes off and it's do, 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 do.
Well, you know.
when she gets a text message, you're like, wait, the Power Rangers are here? She's a huge Power Rangers fan. Huge Power Rangers fan.
Oh, man.
Oh, I just kind of walk around doing that. I've been trying to get my parent to do that for years.
Nice. So
still hasn't.
So you guys, and I think, I mean, you know, please, you know, what was your favorite part of the drag experience for Bare Bust? I mean, Varla Jean, of course, you know, that's sort of a separate thing, but like, what did you guys think overall of our queens?
I think it was interesting because I think you had told us, I mean, because it's more of a female impersonation show rather than all drag queens.
Yep.
So it was interesting to, you know, have that nice mix of the drag queens with also the transitioning women. That was, I thought that the dancing and the things they did with their parts were really fun.
Well, in Brooklyn Heights, I think also, right. I guess she's visiting, or is she a permanent fixture now?
No, she was in town. She was the special guest all weekend. Because then she competed on that Monday, the 19th, and won. the Miss Gay Orlando pageant.
Oh, wow. That's
yes.
Cool.
She is a sickening queen because she is actually the former Miss Continental. She just stepped down over Labor Day weekend and is a boy queen, is not a transgender queen. And the Continental side of the pageant world is a very heavily trans dominated pageant. And she took that crown, and she, you know, as a boy queen, was able to win Continental. So she is she's a hell of a performer. She has an amazing look, and she was there all weekend. So
she did Feed Me Diamonds, which I think I had seen Sonique do prior.
Sonique has done it. Yeah,
yeah, and
that was the one she did on Point.
Yes, which again,
Point Shoes.
Wow,
hell of a dancer, very well executed. Different than what you might typically associate with drag, but that's the cool thing with Parliament House. We've had a lot of different queens come through with a lot of different styles, so you get to see a little bit of everything over time. And you know, we had a drag queens hosting our pool events. Was it Saturday or Friday? Who was Friday?
We didn't have one Friday. We had Saturday. Gidget unfortunately had another event, so we had Kiana Toms fill in as our hostess on Saturday for pool games. She did a great job. The crowd loved her.
Good.
It's funny because a lot of these things I hear secondhand for this event because I was so busy running from one side of the Parliament House to the other, making sure that the next event in the day was going correctly or was prepared for. But I had a lot of people that really enjoyed Kiana. And it was fantastic that she was able to do that for us. But she got inducted into the newbie queens of Bear Bust, because the one thing that pool game hosts don't realize is when you help out or when you fill in on a regular weekend, it's what it is. It's fine. It's good. It's fun. You get people, you get, you know, play games, you have a good time. When Bear Bust weekend rolls around, the bears take care of their queens with lots and lots of liquor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Addison last year was the fill-in host on Saturday. It was Addison and I believe Chantel Riche. And she got to experience it firsthand with a, you know, passing out later on that afternoon, and Kiana
not making it back
in drag, passing out, or
we're not sure.
I don't think so. I think she got out of drag and then went home and then passed out. yeah, in her car, in her driveway.
Yeah,
just saying. Oh. Yeah, and this year Kiana had the pleasure of meeting all the bears at Bear Bust, and by the time I went over at the end of it, roughly about 4:15, maybe 4:30-ish, she was gone.
Oh, boy.
She was gone.
And so the normal queen, you know, Gidget Galore, who another geeky friend of ours, local queen, who, again, I need to get on, she's the normal, the go-to. And she does a great job because, you know, I don't know any of our listeners or if you guys have ever been to a pool party hosted by a drag queen. They're wearing pool-friendly drag. They get in the pool. For the most part,
that's good.
It's pool friendly attire. I don't think drag makeup is ever really pool friendly.
I thought Chantel was telling me that she had some kind of makeup that held up better than others.
Better.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not swimming underwater for an hour with it on. But yeah, Gidget did host on Sunday. Gidget did Sunday's pool party. And as is custom for most of her pool games, but especially for the Sunday Bear Bust, after the final games and everything are done, the big floppy hat gets thrown off. The wig sometimes gets thrown off, and then she does a giant cannonball into the pool.
Nice.
Oh, well, that's perfect. And yes. Then she comes up looking like a raccoon, and it's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Total tanuki.
She puts a lot of the finisher spray on to try to at least give it a shield. So that way she gets quick underwater and back up, and it's not too bad. And she's usually pretty good about that.
And she also, hosted some of the other things throughout the weekend as well.
Yes, Gidget was with us on Thursday night for We call them Bear Olympics, but we've kind of gone a little bit away from that because the Bears haven't had enough to drink yet in the weekend to play silly games.
So they don't want to move around very much.
So it's a lot of...
Stand and pose, and growl.
It's a lot of, like, the first person to show me a picture of a dick piercing gets a prize type of thing. So it's a lot of let's make a deal.
Is it like, what was that game where if you have paper clips in your purse?
Yeah, at the end of Let's Make a Deal.
Let's make a deal.
Yes.
You're making deals.
Yes, exactly.
And what's also awkward is you could say, well, what's behind hotel room door number 25? Or you get what's in this
start
box.
Start opening the curtains and seeing what's behind the curtains. You
could turn that whole thing into a fun little game. But
that would definitely be a zonk right there.
So there was, like, that's the thing about this event that is not always common, but is nice to see when you have a bear event that has drag as a key part of a lot of the different things. And I think everyone, you know, had a great experience with that. The queens that, you know, you bring out for this are always a lot of fun. Chantel's done in the past. Did Bear Ransley do it once? Mm. No, okay. Anyway, there have been other queens that we know who've come out and done stuff, but I mean, they all have a great time. But Varla, getting back to her, oh my God. So she was hilarious during the show. The show was great. It was a sci-fi science sort of thing. Very funny show overall. If you have a chance to go see her big black hole, you definitely need to. It's really fun. And I meant to come back to this. Jason, your friend wrote some of it, right?
Yeah, our really good friend Jacques Lamar is her co-writer for all of her shows. So they've been co-writing now for, it's been at least, I think, 10 years.
Wow.
On a lot of the videos he co-wrote, like what they were going to do, if they change any of the words to the songs, or if they write a song. But whenever she does a show, he co-writes most of them with her. And he's hilarious. She's hilarious. So when they get together, it's like... it's magic.
Well, and they have it's a cabaret show, so they have a piano player who's also a key part of it. I can't think of his name.
Gerard.
He was great too. I mean, great musician, you know, fit effortlessly with Varla's timing. I mean, I'm sure they rehearse and all that, but you know, can roll with it as within a drag show you sometimes have to do and improvise. But Varla came back and hosted Mr. Bear Bust. It was Mr. Bear Bust is always a fun event because it's kind of a bear pageant. I mean, it is a bear pageant, but with some interesting questions and activities to demonstrate your Mr. Bear Bustness.
Maybe best kept bear bust.
We finally, I think, got to a point where it's the best combination of like how to do this event and to make it entertaining. I'll give a quick rundown. So we have our contestants come up and the host, whoever it is this year, happened to be Varla, talks to them for a minute, gets some info about them, and they have the card with their information on it. And then they get some music and get to strip down a bit and shake what they got. And then the second thing that they do in the first round is, they get to demonstrate their favorite sexual position on one of our guest judges.
Yes. I like how you put that. They get to demonstrate their favorite sexual position on one of the guest judges, not just with them, but most of the time on them.
Yes.
And the guest judges, of course, were, you know, three of the guys from Where the Bears Are. Was it Rick Kopp, Joe Deedle, and Ben Zook?
Yep.
That was fantastic getting to meet them, cause they're hilarious and you know, I love Where the Bears Are. I've been watching it since the first season. And they just wrapped up their fourth season, I believe.
Yeah, it came out, the last two episodes came out right after Bear Bust.
Yep. So it was just perfect timing, for them to be there. And, they did get to be the judges. although I don't. Honestly, when it comes to judging Bear Bust contest, it's really, or Mr. Bear Bust, it really came down to, I think, the popularity, you know, to the audience. You know, they followed the claps, but yeah, they uh, between them and Varla Jean. Varla Jean, of course, getting to provide the vehicle for the contestants to pick their favorite judge to either grind on or be ground by.
Or sniff their behind, as one of their contestants, I think, did.
Oh, is that the one with the pup mask?
Yes. Ugh. I don't know if you could have done anything other than just sniff his butt.
Gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, it was a fantastic group of contestants that got up there. I'm sure, you know, some of them had a lot of liquid courage, but a lot of the guys that did it obviously, you know, enjoyed themselves.
Some cajoling.
Or yes.
Oh, I was going to say, some of them we had to drag up. Not that there weren't people who wanted to compete, but we knew we wanted a couple more. And the one that I dragged up there is a friend of ours, and he won, you know?
Yeah.
And so. we were behind you and pushing him.
Good. Every little bit helped. And I think he's overall very glad that he won. But in his different things that he does in life, he was a little bit concerned about Facebook photo tags. And I showed him the magic of approving all tags. And he was like, oh, my God, thank you. And some pictures that are now up on Facebook on the Bear Bust. Is it up on Bear Bust?
The Bear Bust Facebook page, yes.
There is like 600 photos that were taken by Stocky Photos all weekend, and there's more coming. You obviously like see those pictures, you want to tag everybody, and you start tagging them. But you know, some people are like, don't tag me, which is fine, totally cool. But no, and so the Bear Bust, Mr. Bear Bust was great. That's like the high point, I think, on Saturday night, the apex, the climax of the whole event. But throughout the weekend and then leading up through the Sunday evening thing, there were musical concerts as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to experience some amazing musicians, not all what you would necessarily consider bear musicians, but all gay singer-songwriter, some definitely in the community, some very friendly and thrilled to be a part of the community.
I think besides – I don't know if Eric – But,
Eric's the only one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah, I'm like the rest of them are no, all.
No. And even Keith, because Keith at first, when I saw his Facebook pictures of Keith London, I was like, and then I saw him around the event. I was like, who the hell is this little 18-year-old chaser running around? And I'm like, he looks familiar. And then, of course, he performed on Sunday, and I was like, oh. And then I saw him hanging out with people. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But Friday we had Matt Alber. I said his name right. Yep.
Alber. A-L-B-E-R.
I always want to put a T on there. It's no T. It's not Fat Albert. It's Matt Alber.
No T, no Albert.
No T, no Albert.
Just imagine that you're in France.
Albert. So I had heard him way back, probably around the same time I heard Eric Hyman, or a little bit later, and we'll talk about Eric in a second. But he blew me away. His voice is amazing. I was very excited to hear him because I had never gotten to meet him and hear him perform. And he performed by himself with tracks, which as someone who has done that before, it is fucking scary. And at least you have tracks that sort of, you know, I mean, you should know, but like when it's no band, there's no flexibility. You're locked into that thing. If you get off, you're off and you're done. So, I mean, but he did a great job. I mean, he came out and guitar too, right? He played.
Yeah, his first couple of tracks he did guitar and track.
Right. And that worked out well too. And so he did a great mix of sort of a slow, soulful, and then he did some more dance and upbeat stuff. So it was a really nice range of music to cover. And again, if you haven't checked him out, I know his info's up on our Facebook, on the Bear Bust Facebook, but I mean, look him up. I mean, anyone who has an ear who likes just good singing, you're going to love him. And then Matt Zarley was Saturday.
Yep.
He performed right after the Mr. Bear Bust contest. And, I mean, his performance is so energetic. I mean, he really gets up there and he pushes out. He's got such a great, great force to his voice that it was really fun and energizing to listen to him. You could tell that some of the guys there, I had actually never heard him play before. But I was really impressed with his range, his emotional range, he also did perform a couple covers, one of which happened to be a what's her name? Québécoise songstress.
Oh, Céline Dion?
Oh,
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Yeah, one happened to be a Celine cover, and it was probably the only Celine song that I've ever really enjoyed listening to.
Oh, wow. Which one did he do? I don't remember.
That's the Way It Is.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's the Way It Is?
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
So she so he didn't have to say Lerv in the song, or
Lerv,
did he?
Yeah. Lerv, yeah, no.
Did he beat his chest and thank anybody?
Even being as late as it was, you know, obviously people were still, you know, we're still going. Because Saturday night, obviously, it was packed. I mean, not just for the dance clubs, for the DJs that were out in the courtyard. I believe it was DJ Glowbear out there and another gentleman.
C-Rail.
Yeah, awesome Neon. Artist. Neon was Saturday's poolside DJ, and then C-Rail was our nighttime DJ on Saturday night.
That's it. And everybody was pretty pumped out there. So for a Saturday, just the amount of people was pretty shocking. So it was definitely. I think every inch of that Parliament House was filled.
Yeah, and what's neat about that event is it's not taking place in the normal, like, front of the house, the disco, the theater. A lot of it is taking place in the courtyard, which is basically this giant, well, fairly large converted parking lot of this travel motel. And then in the back is the back bar, the Bear Den. And so Bear Bust and other events they do that are in the courtyard take that over, if you will, and just, you know, people fill it up. But then they go to all the bars. I mean, I know talking to a couple of the bartenders, they did really great numbers and they had a great time. That's the other thing is sometimes the event may be very successful. The bartenders are like, yeah, they're just, you know, people are assholes or they're not drinking as much as you want. But this, I mean, it was crazy. And so Sunday we had a sort of a barbecue, a farewell barbecue in the end of the evening after, you know, a full day of pool games and a cigar social. That was Sunday or Saturday?
No, that was Saturday.
Okay. But we had a lovely, like, little catered barbecue out by the lake, which for years and years and years, I have to tell you, going to Parliament House, you did not go to the lake. Well, you went to the lake if you wanted to get drugs or get, like, sex of some kind. I don't know. That place, it's like a lake. It's, you know, a freshwater lake, but there's like a beach. And the beach, you would just, like, never take your shoes off because God only knows what you're going to step on. They used to not do a good job of keeping up the landscape. And so it was pretty, like, just overgrown, nasty Florida, you know, lake. And usually you're there at night, so it's, like, dark. So you can't see anything either, and it's whatever. But what they have started doing, since gay marriage is now legal everywhere, they have started having weddings out there. And they have... And you guys, I don't know if you got to see the back at all. Did I take you guys back there at all to see the lake?
No, not to the very back now.
Well, it was dark, I think, when we were there anyway. But it's beautiful now. They've done an amazing job. There's a gazebo. They have this giant, like, grass area that they can set up chairs and tables. And it's just – they've really made it a space that you could have a wedding at, and it would be pretty nice. And so Sunday, it was really nice. It was windy. But, like, the clouds were, like, you know, moving, so it was not, like, bright and, like, hot, but it was just, you know, like, partially cloudy and just – it was nice. It was very nice. And so the barbecue was, like, you know, for about, what, 2 hours or so?
Yeah, the entire barbecue time was about 4 hours. Okay. We served food for about two, and that was catered by Anthony Gray, who is actually on staff at Parliament House. He's one of – so we did an in-house barbecue this year, which he did a fantastic job. And I made sure to tell him because we had a lot of people that came up and had seconds and thirds because we had plenty of food.
Mm-hmm.
And
at an air event, people had seconds and thirds?
I know, right? Well, it's better than one of the last BOCF Bear Bus I can remember. They did a going away thing and they had like 50 chicken wings and three pizzas. And
oof.
It went through in like 10 minutes and everybody's like, where's the food?
Well, it's like at the end of Bear Happy Hour in D.C. Not the end of Bear Happy Hour. When you're in Bear Happy Hour in D.C. and they have the free pizza and it goes in about 5 minutes. But they get a lot of pizza. It's just that Bears like pizza and food. So, yeah, no.
Especially when it's free.
Especially when it's free. And there were free drinks if you had Run Pass. That was the one thing. It really, I think this is cool because going to some other Bear events, you kind of wonder, well, what is your – run pass, what does your dog tag get you? And at some events, it's like, oh, you get a t-shirt and you get a discount if you show it to somebody in somewhere. It's like, okay, that's, it's not worth $80. You know what I mean? Like, it may go to a good cause, great, but like, you don't see the value. This event, and I think TBRU is like this a little bit. I'm sure other bear events as well. I have not been to all bear events. I'm sure over the course of my life, I probably will get closer to completing that punch card. Is there a punch card?
No, that punch card would be way too big. And
the bear circuit.
The 9 runs, get your 10th one free.
Yeah.
That would be a nice deal. So, but with the run pass this year, you didn't have to buy it. You really didn't. You could do all the bear events except that barbecue part. Pretty much just paying to get into either Parliament for the front of the house stuff or just wander back to the bear den, which is 99% of the year free. And the courtyard was wide open. But with this, you got free drinks. And so they opened up the free drink bar, and the bartender out there was pouring some mighty strong punch, vodka and mixers, you know. So that was really good. And it was a nice thank you to people who had paid for the run pass.
Well, one of the good things about that we changed this year and we'll continue on definitely into next year is that if you reserve a room at the Parliament House, you automatically get 2 run passes with your room. So if you come down and it's, you know, like if Steve and Jason, if you guys came down and wanted to stay at the Parliament House for Bear Bust, you pay your room rate and you both get run passes. You don't have to worry about purchasing a separate, you know, having a separate purchase to take advantage of that.
Which is a great deal because what, the run passes were over 100, were they?
If you bought them on site, it was the most and that was 99.
Okay.
But we were doing incremental, we had like 65, 75, and 85, depending on when you bought it. And then, yeah, if you bought the cheapest way to get the run passes was to stay there.
Yeah, because the room prices aren't crazy. I mean, for what they are, it's a little more expensive and they vary throughout the year. But, you know, in Orlando, hotels are not necessarily cheap either. But no, so the barbecue was great for run pass holders. And then they had the evening concerts outdoors, which that was the only part that was a little perilous because we were back by the lake and it was really windy. But
it's only perilous when shit starts flying out of the trees
and knocking on you and
hitting you in the head. But there's nothing major.
No, it was
little twigs. Little twigs.
Is that a Florida thing?
I think it's an everywhere thing. If your tree has nuts and you have wind, things are gonna fly.
Actually, yeah, we currently are having a major acorn rainstorm in our yard, so yeah,
it happens.
Well, and with the pith helmet, yeah, and you know, but I would imagine that, you know, being a bear, you know, being a bear run, that nuts are going to be flying at the performers.
Lord,
do you know what somebody? So, friend of a friend
especially,
of the show,
especially the handsome crop of, you know, amazing performers.
I like that you worked in crop. That was well played, Bob Joy, and if you've been a listener of Comic Book Bears, you know Bob. In fact, if you went to the bear event last year up in near Comic-Con at Rock Bar, you got to meet Bob. He's crazy. I did not know this, but evidently this is a thing. Men, and I assume mostly men, though you don't, I guess, technically have to be to do this, they're posting pictures of beautiful vistas, lovely landscape shots, with testicles up at the top of the picture.
Excuse me, if you're going to talk about it, you need to use the proper name.
I don't know what the name is.
It's Nutscaping.
Nutscape, thank you. Thank you.
And it's nutscaping.com, I believe, is the... It's either nutscapes.com. I think it's Nutscapes. Nutscapes.com. And then the term is Nutscaping. So basically what you do is you find yourself in a lovely location. You drop your pants.
And you hold the... That's an awkward camera angle.
No, you bend over.
Oh, it's okay.
And you take the picture through your legs. Make sure not to get your penis in it because penis is not allowed. But you get...
That would be uncouth.
Exactly. Really. That it's just uncivilized.
It's not up to code.
You get the very bottom of your scrotum.
It's like a little cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
just at the top of the lovely landscape.
Someone needs to do that.
A little comfy cloud.
Someone needs to do that at Parliament House and post it up on the site.
Well,
you should just make a postcard. You know, wish you were here.
There you go. For Bear Bust. I think that would be a great advertisement next year.
And if you catch the lake in the back at sunset, it's a gorgeous scene back there with the trees and the
picture to put your balls on.
It wouldn't be the craziest thing that's happened back there by that lake, let me tell you. While we were sitting there, so I was standing there with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who came, we had Donna and
Donna Chernobyl and Laura and Testins were my two biggest helpers over the weekend.
They did an amazing job, and they were there every day, all day, coordinating with their other sisters, but just running a lot of the volunteer stuff, so they were really doing a great job. We were all hanging out. And we look in this giant lake. I forgot what the lake. Rock Lake. There is somebody on a boat, on a, like a paddle boat, like a small little, you know, paddle.
Like a two-person paddle boat.
Two-person pontoon paddle thing. And we're like, oh, people are out on the lake. That's nice. You don't see that very often in this lake. No, wait. They're coming close. They're coming here. They're on their way to the Parliament House via paddle boat. And we had heard about this. A friend of ours, Greg Taylor. Doesn't sound right. He was always talking about his friends, and you had talked about seeing it too before, but I had never been there for it. And so of course these I assume they were gay men coming over to the Parliament House, get it right off from their boat onto the beach and go up to the bar and have a drink. I'm like, this is crazy. You know, how many gay bars in the world do you have like a boat drive up boat service, not really service, but you know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure you could get boat service if you came at the right time.
That's a different type of thing. But no, so it was a lovely afternoon, lots of nice fun. And then so Keith London from American Idol season
13, Lucky, first openly gay American Idol contestant.
Which you would think, wait, really? By then? But I think what it was is like when he got on the show, like that was first thing. It was just
none of the other contestants while they were
right
actively competing on the show were out.
Yeah.
Regardless of how flaming they were, Adam Lambert.
Yeah. And what's his name? Adore.
Danny Noriega.
Yeah, before.
Clay Aiken.
Oh. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, but
and then Adore.
What's that?
Yeah. Danny Noriega.
Danny Noriega, yeah. But they were, yeah, they may have been absolutely flaming, and you were like, okay, yes, we know you're homosexual. But they never competed as out gay men on the show. So it was Keith was the first one. And then I believe there was a second one on that same season. But he holds the claim to fame as being the first openly gay contestant and was unceremoniously eliminated during Hollywood Week. And it actually caused enough of a stir that I think like HuffPo and BuzzFeed, maybe a couple of the different like online news outlets actually covered his elimination and kind of the way the whole thing went down with Harry Connick Jr. and Jennifer Lopez and that other guy, Keith Urban.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, that other guy.
I thought that was the
Australian.
Show.
That guy.
But he was great. And I mean, yeah, hearing him sing and play guitar, like you're like, he should have gone a lot further in that show. And I think he did mostly covers, right?
Yeah, he did all covers. He has an album out, but I think in this kind of situation, it's, when you don't really have that, I don't even want to say mainstream, when you don't have that kind of exposure yet.
Right. People don't know your songs.
Yeah. Tougher. And especially in that kind of intimate setting, it's a little bit tougher to be like, here's one of my originals.
Well, the energy always kind of goes, if you don't have that, like, what is that? People can't sing along. He chose the right thing, and he sounded great. Plus, he put his own spin on them. Like, playing it on just guitar, you really have to craft everything. So he did a great job. And then Eric Hyman, who I had met, a long time ago as well, like, he came up and he performed. And same kind of deal, acoustic guitar, singer, songwriter. But Eric's got, God, what do you say, 14 years doing this?
Yeah, something along that.
He's got a lot of songs that have gotten around. And if you've not heard of him, you probably have. You just didn't realize it. He kind of looks like, and he hates this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. He looks like, what's the Maroon 5 guy's name?
Adam Levine,
slightly. I mean,
he sounds more like him, which is the story that he told during the show.
But he sounds like him, and he like a cross between him and Tracy Chapman, who we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
But great writer, great writer, great performer. And I had previously done some arranging for him. I forgot how many years ago, maybe like 2 years ago. I wrote some charts for him to perform with his band and do like Amy Winehouse stuff for whatever reason. And when Pat said he was being booked, I was like, oh my gosh, we could put a horn section together for him. I think that'd be really cool. You know, and at the time I'm thinking, oh, it'll be up on the big stage and it'll be this big thing. You know, it was not as big because we were back in the back on the smaller outdoor stage by the lake. But I also didn't get a full horn section. I only got myself and another sax player, Jacob, our longtime listeners who will know as the straight boy, one of the straight boys on the floor. And he also plays sax. And so we got to play Rehab with him.
That's awesome.
I have not heard it yet. I think there's a video somewhere, maybe.
I got a short video clip about a minute and a half video or about a minute and a half or so from our friends at Stocky Photos.
So I'm kind of nervous because I actually had parts to it or a part to it, and I had to write them all out again because I couldn't find them and I needed a second part. So that day I'm like furiously writing out the song and it actually came out well. I mean, part of that's due to the fact that Eric's got a great voice and sings it really well, plays the guitar, you know, version of it really well. So we were just, you know, the little horn section that went along. But I think people enjoyed it.
And you guys also did Sade, right?
Yeah. So originally we were going to do another Amy Winehouse song that I had written out. And then he's like, well, we should just do something. You should just play some stuff.
He wanted you to do The Weeknd.
Which I had never, or I had heard.
The song, I forget what song it is, whatever popular song by The Weeknd.
I didn't really know it. And I was like, eh. And then he's like, well, this is basically just like Sade's, what was the name of the song? I don't remember. It's one of the ones, oh, No Ordinary Love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you started playing, and he's like, that sounds like Sade. Let's just do Sade instead.
So we did that together. It was a little duet-ish type thing where I was just playing stuff around what he was doing. And, you know, I don't normally do that kind of thing. I was a little nervous, even though I had been drinking. I hadn't drink enough. I didn't have enough liquid courage in me. But, I mean, again, people seem to enjoy it. And honestly, you know, for those kind of things, it's all about Eric. And Eric is great. Like, he's so nice. I was really glad he came. He really enjoyed the experience of being there and having a great performance, you know? So that was a super cool thing for him to have and for us to enjoy. So, yeah, I mean, overall it was a great, again, a lot of bear events don't have music like this.
So, yeah. Most don't. And it's been so much fun that like most of this recording has not been me talking about the event, which is nice because I spent so much time having to try to tell people about the event leading up to it that it's nice to kind of hear about it. Because again, I didn't get to really experience a lot of it. But bear events that are successful and that are long running tend to have a lot of like social interaction type of pieces to them. From the pool parties to, because even in like March, when you have TBRU, they have their hotel has an indoor, I believe, heated pool.
We didn't get in it last year.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's heated or not.
It's a little crowded.
Or like, you know, when the 65 Bears are in it, then, you know, it's warm no matter what.
Ew.
Bear soup. Gross. Bear soup. Displaced.
Gross. Yeah.
It's just a tough wave.
It's not gross. I didn't say they all peed in the pool.
Still.
Ew. Lord. It's bear soup. You
enjoy
it. I
didn't say it either.
You all, which is always fun because all the bears are in the shallow end. You can always tell where the drop off is to the deep water. Because that's where the bears stop, and then you have the ring around the pool of bears leaning, like holding on to the outer rim of the pool. But you have those. You'll have either bingo or Family Feud. I think TBRU started doing. You'll get a lot of those things. They had a game room, like a video game board game room.
So awesome.
So you'll have stuff like that where it's a lot about, it's very much about the social interaction, and then you'll have your contests and all that stuff. And maybe you'll have musical performances like Big Dipper performed at Beach Bear in Fort Lauderdale this past year. And we've kind of kept to, or at least since I've come on board and started planning, I've tried to at least keep the music alive as part of that. And we started doing the barbecue. Tom Goss was our guest last year, and he performed at our farewell barbecue. And, you know, we did a comedy show with Peter Basuito last year. So, we did it with Varla this year. So there are a couple things that I'm trying to make sure that we kind of keep alive. And the music was definitely the one thing. So I had reached out to Matt Albert way early on, and we had a couple of emails back and forth, just kind of, you know, feeling each other out. And then I talked to Eric because I knew that Brian was friends with him. And I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe we can get you down here for something. And it turned into, I kind of had this idea that I was like, well, let's make this kind of like a mini music festival. It's the 25th anniversary. You got to do something big. And why not make it kind of the star-studded lineup? And I think overall, I think I picked extremely talented, extremely attractive, bear-friendly entertainers this year. So and that's including Varla, because I don't know if you guys saw this, but not even a week after Bear Bust, all of a sudden Queerty starts running this Varla Jean Merman's hiding a sexy secret, you know. And I'm like, bitch, I knew about this. And I'm like, was somebody from Queerty, was a freelance writer from Queerty at Bear Bust? Did they talk to Jeff while he was there? So I think overall you couldn't have asked for a better lineup on one bill than what we put together for Bear Bust 25.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the music was really a big part of what made the event not just successful, but also really welcoming to, you know, people who may not have made the trip down to see Bear Bust. But there's just a great lineup of people, lots of great events. And also I think you haven't mentioned yet the Gay Men's Chorus had also done a cabaret.
That's right.
On Friday night.
Yes, the Orlando Gay Chorus, as directed by our new Mr. Bear Bust. which is going to be fantastic for when he has to do events with them. But James
is
going
to wear his sash.
He was so excited about that sash. Oh my gosh!
He's a big old leather boy. So to get a leather sash, to win a contest and get a leather sash out of the deal was very nice. But yeah, the Orlando Gay Chorus had their Uncut Cabaret on Friday night, which is not normally. This was the first year that we kind of bundled it in with Bear Bust Weekend. Normally, it's at a different time of the year. I want to say it's in November normally, because I feel like it's a little closer to Christmas. I could be completely wrong. It could be October every year, and I'm just completely making this shit up right now. But James had come to me and said, I want to do something and make it a part of Bear Bust, because a lot of the guys that are in the chorus that are going to be part of the show and some of our guests from like Tampa and Fort Lauderdale are bears. So I think this would be really great. And they had I don't want to say sold out, but they had a very well attended, and I think probably their best ever attended Uncut Cabaret. And Brian, I stick around for about the first half of the show, because, you know, I can't sit still during Bear Bust, because, you know, something is always going on that I got to be around. But Brian got to see the show. So what was your takeaway from Uncut Cabaret?
I mean, it's in that tradition of the bawdy, you know, songs and, you know, rewritten songs with naughty lyrics and all that stuff. And, you know, it was what you'd expect. Like, it was those kind of adaptations, or in one case, a song that Danny, is it Danny? No. Dan. Yeah, Dan is the president there. I had to go up and ask him about it, because it was very, very on the nose. Basically a song about oral sex. And like, not implied at all, really, pretty much. And I don't remember the name of it, but it's something like let me put you in my mouth, or something. No, actually, I think it's Let Me Come in Your Mouth. I literally think it's something that, like, on the nose. And it was from a musical that he had heard, you know, years ago. And he actually went out and found the guy who wrote it, contacted him, and asked if he could do it. And they said, yes, absolutely. We just want a video of you doing it. And it was really good performance.
Wait, do they mean a video of him singing, or a video of him?
Well, I can only attest to the first video. There may be a second video. I don't know. That's their deal. But the other thing that was really a treat is one of the professors, adjunct professors from UCF, who I never studied with because I never studied voice when I was a music major, but I absolutely knew, and a lot of my friends were her students, Priscilla Bagley, who is quite a talent. She did what's the song? It's Cole Porter. Oh, You'd Be Surprised. And she actually added another in that sort of tradition. She added another verse to it for the event that was even bawdier. So, I mean, like ensemble numbers. Oh, there was an original song one of the guys in the chorus sang, and it was like beautiful. Like I had no idea that, you know, that they had written stuff like that. But I mean, it was really great. Some poignant moments. It was fantastic. Like they had so the whole event is a charity fundraiser. It's not charity. They're raising money to go to this thing called, oh gosh, I want to say Nationals. It's not Nationals. I watch too much Glee. It's
perfect.
All you gay chorus people out there are probably screaming it right now. And I think there's at least one or two that I know listen. But it's a big event, a big festival, gala weekend. That's what it's called. And since the OGC, Atlantic Gay Chorus, is a nonprofit group, they do these fundraiser performances. They had, you know, raffles. They gave away donated prizes, all this stuff, so that they can afford the very expensive entry fee to go out there and not just attend this convention, but sing and perform at this event. So it was great, very successful for them. I'm sure there's more fundraising they've got to do. But any gay chorus concert you can go to, you're never going to leave there bored. You may have some okay and some not so okay songs occasionally, just depending on the chorus and depending on the. But like, since James has come on OGC, that sounded wrong. Since James has took the lead, has brought his talents to OGC, I've seen a huge transformation in their musicianship, and the kind of things they're doing is just, it's fantastic. So it was great. I'm really glad that was a successful. I mean, the concert, the theater was pretty full.
Yeah, this it definitely wasn't sold out, but it was, very well attended, and especially in comparison to previous years where they would have about half a theater full, this was probably about like 80-85% full. So they did a great job getting the word out there and getting people into the seats. So I think a 7 o'clock on Friday time slot for them, as opposed to a Thursday night, which it used to be, was definitely a great thing for them. And it worked out well. So that way they could raise some more money. And it's obviously a lot more fun when you're playing to a fuller house versus half a house. Yeah. You know?
Especially this kind of humorous music where you need an audience reaction. They also had, I forgot the caterers, but they made sort of adult cookies, pastries, what have you. That they were giving. I mean, it was just free if you're paid for the concert, and that was really cool too. You know, they had some of all the things that I would eat. You know, because I didn't. You know, I ate breasts. Like they had these little sugar cookies with nipples. They're like, you know, a flattened breast, and those were amazing. And no one was, gay men weren't eating them. I was like, come on, guys.
You can't be that scared of titties.
You know you like them. Let's go. Come on. But they were delicious. And,
the gay men were just walking by motorboating the sugar cookies and walking away.
Yeah, right. But no, I mean, the whole event, I did want to ask you, Pat, because I feel like this episode should be called like Inside Bear Bus.
Inside the Bear Bus Studio.
What would surprise the listener of this after hearing about this amazing successful event, if you're hearing about all this stuff, like what do you think? What kind of things about the event would surprise someone? Like they just would never understand or have any idea about, you know, the event.
How much planning goes into it? Absolutely. The amount of work and effort that goes into every part of it, because it's not just, okay, let's contact these people and all right, cool, you're coming down. Great. That's it. And
sounds so simple.
And then you get to the event and you're like, hey, cool, people are here. Awesome. I spent the better part of this year, and when I say this year, I mean from January until October, working on organizing the event and reaching out to different artists and trying to get their information, what they're looking for, and and all that, and then having to go to Parliament House because, you know, I've kind of become the face of the event, for lack of a better term, because I am so involved in actually planning and organizing and running the event. But, you know, I've got to go to Parliament House and be like, hey, this is who I think we should have this year, or this is what I think we should do, and, you know, come to them with all the numbers and really kind of, you know, be ready, and not always, but be ready to have a rationale as to why I think this would work and be a good thing for the event. For doing this for the last three-ish years, about 3 years doing events there, they've come to kind of trust my judgment for the bear stuff, which has been really cool. So, you know, when you get down there on the Thursday or the Wednesday or whenever you get down there for the event and you kind of see everything put together and you go and get registered and you get your t-shirt and you get, you know, your drink bracelet and all that stuff, that's a shit ton of hours of my life and my headaches and frustration into making that happen, which I don't say that to be like, you know, I'm a martyr and I do all of this to, you know, like, oh my God, look at all the work I do.
But contrast with most bear events that are run by committees of these bear groups.
Yeah. You normally have a 10-person committee running running an event that spans a 4 or 5 or, you know, well, Bear Week, I think, is the only one that's more than that. But, you know, normally it's 4 or 5 days and you have at least 10 people on the committee that all have assigned jobs. Like, you know, okay, you're in charge of social media, you're in charge of entertainment, you're in charge of this, you know, but the fact that, you know, first off, that I didn't go crazy.
That was good.
You know, that was a plus.
That is a plus.
Yeah, just a small one. But the fact that it was so well received, you know, that was really my validation to say that, okay, this was worth it. But yeah, I don't think people, I think it was talked about a little more this year than ever before, because I had a lot of even our entertainers who thanked me throughout the course of the event. And I loved Varla's. Varla's was actually the funniest out of all of them, because at the end of Big Black Hole, she comes out on stage and she had some fun with Don and Marla, who are the owner and the general manager of Parliament House. And she came out and she was talking to everybody and was thanking people and thanked me.
That was nice.
For getting her down there, which was awesome. And she, how did she phrase it? It was something along the lines of, you know, thanking me for organizing this event. And then in my spare time, organizing the show for her. And I'm like, that's about right. Yep, spare time.
Yeah, it's
Well, don't forget as well, when Varla came out right after Mr. Bear Bust and made sure that everyone knew that it was also your birthday.
That was nice. That was really nice.
And led a rousing round of happy birthday with a packed pool stage area singing happy birthday to me on stage of the Parliament House. That was one of those moments that you don't easily forget.
You know, a couple hundred bears all singing happy birthday. Yeah. Yeah, that's a memory.
Yeah, no, for sure. One last thing, because we didn't really talk about them all that much, but they were probably one of the biggest parts. I mean, well, Steve, you mentioned them earlier when we're talking about Mr. Bear Bust. But the guys from Where the Bears Are, the members and the founders, creators, writers of Where the Bears Are, Three Bears Entertainment, Rick, Joe, and Ben came down for the event. And we're there the whole time. They came down on Thursday, got there Thursday afternoon-ish, early evening, and left Monday morning. And if I told you that they had a great time, I think that would be an understatement.
Oh, my God. Anytime you saw them, they were either completely obliterated drunk or manhandling other bears or being manhandled. Like,
or both at the same time.
They... They
Rick in one hand and
I
something else.
I got to talk to Rick a little bit because I didn't realize this. Rick wrote a graphic novel.
Yeah, he and his sister are a writing team.
And
his sister lives here in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
And so does his mom.
He also wrote one of Bill's favorite movies, and I can't think of the name of it. He's gonna kill me. But used to write for Teen Titans Go. the good one, the good cartoon, not the whatever one now they have. So like he's like a pretty well known.
He wrote for the Golden Girls.
I don't know if he. Well, I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Apparently, if you get him drunk enough, he will start name dropping all of these shows and people that he's worked with in his career.
I mean, so he and you know, I think all three of them have a lot of stories, but yeah, no, Rick was. And Rick's the one that you might overlook because Ben and Jeff get a lot of the attention, I think.
Joe, sorry.
Yes. God, I'm sorry. Sorry. I just tagged him in a picture today, and I should know his name. They would get all the attention, you know, typically about, of the other bears. But no, well, Rick. Because
Joe is like 6'3".
Well, yeah.
So he towers over everybody. And then Ben has a lot of visibility because he is – I mean, they're all main characters in the show, but Ben is the one that is with Hot Toddy in the show. So there's a lot of FaceTime, mm-hmm. and he's kind of front and center for everything where Joe and Rick kind of are second string in mm-hmm. a sense. But Joe has a very boisterous personality and is very just, yeah, over the top. And then Ben wasn't going to be able to come originally because he had thrown his back out. So I got word about 2 days before they were supposed to travel here, and they were like, and Rick was like, Ben threw his back out. He's in a lot of pain. He's gone to doctors and chiropractors, and we're not quite sure. And I'll let you know more in a couple of days. And then I was like, on edge, waiting to hear back. And then Joe posted that they were all at the airport getting ready to come to Orlando. And I was like, whew, good times, good.
Yeah. I'm so glad. It's one thing when you have a guy or musician or whatever, performer, personality show up and then they do their gig and they leave. But it's another thing altogether when they make a weekend out of it and they are very accessible to their fans and to people who just happen to think they're hot. I mean, that was really, really a cool thing. And then everything they said, like they just had a blast. So that's very validating too, you know, because they go to a lot of these kind of events that like anybody, you know, like the people who do the circuit or just get to travel a lot for their thing. And, you know, they all had such a great time.
Yeah.
Well, and they were, you know, like you said, they were very accessible and they were accessible to people who wanted to come up and just talk about the show or, you know, talk to them. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they were very friendly, very warm and, you know, definitely made a good impression, I think, on myself, but also on a lot of the other people that were there, most of whom I'm sure watch Where the Bears Are all the time, but some of them, you know, may not have been familiar with it. And hopefully they were able to get some new fans.
Yeah, for sure. Because we actually did a screening with them on Friday afternoon or early afternoon. And they brought their seasons with them and did a couple episodes from each, kind of almost like a little sampler from all the different seasons. And then they did the world premiere. The guys that were in there for this were the first ever to see the world premiere of the New Year's episode where Todd proposes to Nelson. And the people that came to the screening were the first ever to see that, which is really cool that they made that a part of what they were doing here. Especially with it being so close to the end of this season, and they hung around and actually and did a little Q&A and did a little meet and greet and photos with the guys that were there and did some they signed some posters, which I have a bunch left. So if any of our local listeners would like a free autographed Where the Bears Are poster, just contact me at pat@flameonshow.com and we can arrange a pickup. Or maybe a cheap mailing. I'm not quite sure. But they were super, super cool to just hang out with and talk to. And they were so gracious and so excited to be there. And, you know, it really could have turned into a giant marketing thing for them to try to prepare for another Kickstarter campaign or to sell merchandise or do any of that. And they did not do that. They took it as, let's really kind of get out there and just hang out and meet the fans, have a good time. And that's the best way to really kind of promote your product and your project.
Yeah.
By just being those awesome people that when it does come around, you'll go, oh yeah, that's right. I met these guys. Cool. Let me throw $5 or $10 or whatever, you know, you can and help them out or buy a DVD, which helps their production costs. So, you know, and they've actually talked about wanting to bring possibly film a season at the Parliament House, which I think would be very interesting.
Wouldn't be the first thing filmed there, but possibly one of the more successful. And
it would be the thing, the first bear thing filmed there. So that'd be kind of fun.
At least well, not just in a room somewhere.
Well, not for bearfilms.com, but you know. Because no. Hey, if
something that would be, say, safe for work, you know.
Mostly. but they also were talking about possibly wanting to do a Where the Bears Are stage show. And after being in the theater for the screening, they and seeing Varla's show, because they came out on Saturday night and with Matt Zarley and watched the show, and they love the space. So it's something that is kind of on their list of, if they do this, they would love to come back and actually do the show at the Parliament House in the Footlight Theater. So it was really great having them. I'm glad that we Tim, who I mentioned earlier, the resort manager of Parliament House, was the one last year who mentioned wanting to get them. And then I went ahead and reached out this year when we were starting to kind of put together who we wanted to be there. And they were actually really easy. I had so many people leading up to the event go, "How did you get the guys from Where the Bears Are?" And I just look at them and go, "I asked them." Yeah.
Pretty simple.
People think it's really hard to like get these people to come here. And it's like, hey, we want to pay you to come to Orlando and hang out at a bear event. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Orlando is a nice draw for that kind of thing, too. Because if you're paying for them to stay there and you're paying for them to do work, like, you know, have a gig, then they get to stay and have a Disney experience that they want and see the other stuff and, you know.
Or just sit around and drink all day with bears.
Or do that. Because that's true.
That's pretty much, I think, what their weekend was. Although we had some new friends of ours from Growlware from Indiana came down for the event. It was their first time in Orlando for Bear Bust. They come down for Tidal Wave, and the new guys that own it have done Tidal Wave here in Orlando. But this was their first time at Bear Bust, and they got in a day early. And did they were planning on going to Epcot and doing like the after four to go check that out. And then they vended all weekend long and they had a great time. So, yeah, it really can be a little bit of a mixture of everything if you want it to be. So I think overall it was a highly successful event. We just got the pictures back, which we were alluding to earlier from our friends at Stocky Photos. So the event pictures are up. The complimentary 4x6 postcards that they did, those pictures will be going up soon. By the time this airs, hopefully on Friday, I'll have put all those up. And then our photo op pictures with Matt Albert, Matt Zarley, and the Where the Bears Are guys, Eric Hyman and Keith London, all of those pictures will be up as well. But if you are interested in coming and joining us for Bear Bust 26, which will be October 20th through the 23rd of 2016, you can call the Parliament House at 407-425-7571 and book your room now. You can lock in the $129 a night rate. It's a three-night minimum, either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But you'll get your two run passes for next year as well. And now that they are exiting all of their bankruptcy stuff, they are looking at some major remodels and some new things that are going to be coming to the Parliament House compound, complex, whatever you want to call it.
Compound is very descriptive.
Yes, because it truly is.
Someday there will be.
It sounds like a little like a cult or something.
Well, someday the branch or the alcohol, the tobacco and firearms will show up, and there'll be a barricade of bears and drag queens all holed up in the thing, hoarding their poppers and their whatever else.
Video head cleaner.
Oh, sorry, that's right. They're gonna be cleaning VHS tapes and.
Varla cleaned a lot of video heads while she was at Bear Bus.
Lord.
Which I'm telling you that my favorite part, and if you haven't seen Big Black Hole and you're in either Pittsburgh or San Francisco, I think those are the two next stops. She doesn't do a lot of stuff outside of the summer. So if you're in either of those areas and you can see Big Black Hole, do so, please do so. But she does this bit with Siri and, it changes depending on where she's at and what's going on. Cause when I saw the show in Provincetown, The last thing is to leave the stage because Courtney Act is coming on and people want to get in for the show. And this time around, it was something along the lines of, the Bears want to go drink and have anonymous sex.
That's cute.
It just was kind of fun that that changes for it. And my last favorite piece of it was Siri, when she tells Siri to leave the jokes to the professionals. And Siri goes, calling Bianca Del Rio. And being in such a drag-heavy area, it definitely got a huge laugh from the crowd for that one. But overall, it was definitely it was a fantastic weekend. Before we finish up, and this will be one of our little non-Bear Bus tidbits that we go into, aside from our tangents that we've gone on. Because I was like, oh, this will be a half-hour episode. We're on like an hour and 20. So, you know, good times, good conversation with good friends. So, Steve, you have been a longtime listener of Flame On. And a long-time
listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Love it. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, being your first time in Orlando, was it your first time in Orlando, period? No, you've been down for Disney before.
Yeah, I've been down for Disney before, mostly on family trips. This is the first time where Jason and I have been able to get away together down to Orlando and just kind of make our own schedule.
Nice.
You know, to be there to visit you guys and to, you know, see Bear Bus and see Varla there, and just kind of hit up Disney and do something crazy for, you know, a Disney day, which is hard to do.
Yeah. Well, true. And then you also got to visit another staple of the Flame On verse. When yes. You got to go to our LCS, known as ACS, or a yes. comic shop. You did not get to meet Oral, though.
I was so pissed at Oral.
No.
He was hiding somewhere.
Oral was hiding.
It literally came down to, hey, can you do – no, you can't do that. Can you – no, you can't do that. We're in your neighborhood. We're going to stop. Oh, you're not home. Okay. Like, I tried so hard to get you to meet Oral. Eric, I think, was actually in Orlando as well, but, like, you know, he's off God knows where.
Eric's been in his little phoenix egg for the last little bit.
He's cracking that egg
also
open.
Also known as being, you know, a real estate agent. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we did go by a comic shop, but only Charles was working, and the Geekeasy wasn't even open.
No, they've only been opening that later in the day. But you at least got to step foot into the legendary A Comic Shop
and find some books you were looking for. So that was good.
It was really nice. I, you know, you guys have talked about it quite a bit, and obviously, you know, ACS is a sponsor of Flame On. But it was great to actually be there, and we did actually get to see the Geekeasy, which was nice. Even though it wasn't open, we could get to look inside, and it was a lot bigger than I had thought it was.
Bigger on the inside. Is that what you're saying?
Stop it.
What?
Stop the Doctor Who reference.
It's bigger on the inside.
It is bigger on the inside.
It was a lot bigger on the inside.
Yeah, when you
walk into this unsuspecting comic shop, it's really nice. Look at all the comics on the walls. Hey, what's this door?
Yeah. It's very misleading in a sense when you look at it from the outside, because it's a strip mall. And all the storefronts are very much kind of just your normal size, and you don't really expect much. And then you walk in, and when the door is closed, especially when the Geekeasy is closed, it's just – it's very, okay, here's our box. You know, it's obviously they've built out after the remodel. It was a little tighter in there originally. But you're like, okay, cool. This is, you know, this is what I expect. And then it's like stepping into Narnia.
Yep.
It's like, here's this giant area where there's – old school video game machines, and there's, you know, TVs all over.
Like the question boxes, which are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing going to that store, having been that my LCS for like, gosh, probably over a decade at this point, and like seeing the transformation from then to now. It's just ridiculous. But I'm really glad you got to see it. I am sad that there wasn't any more exciting things happening, but, you know, whatever. And we put together a 3D printed portal cube for your birthday. So that was
my companion cube. I love it.
Which I could not have done without Jason. And Steve, you helped too, I know.
But Steven was just drinking on the side.
Seriously, Jason saved my ass, because those little round bits, they don't fit very well. Yeah, that and it came out great, and I'm getting more parts to fix the parts that didn't quite make it. And we had a what's the liquor that you got? Chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
Oh, chartreuse. Which we got to enjoy some chartreuse and soda. Now that is a very unique drink.
It is much better with the soda than it is as a shot. I will say that.
I can totally hear it. Yeah, no. It was great. No, it was really good. I'm glad you guys came down. I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to you offline. I might be seeing you guys in not so long in the future for a curling event.
Lordy.
Oh, hey. Yeah. And that is one thing also. We got to hear more about the curling club in Orlando.
I probably didn't shut up about it. It's usually what people accuse me of.
But no, it's pretty fantastic. And, I was also really pleased to see on your car a Charlotte Curling Club sticker. So I was like, hey, a little bit of home, being represented down there in Orlando. So, but that's just really, really cool. What you guys are doing or what you're doing with curling down in Central Florida, which
someone's got to do
when
it.
When you think of winter ice sports, you really don't really think of Florida much.
We're putting the winter back in Winter Park.
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Please don't ever make that your slogan.
Totally.
Please don't ever make that your slogan.
But I personally need to thank you, Steve, because you have been very supportive of Flame On as a vocal listener, an advocate, even before Comic Book Bears, stalker even. But it's been a long time coming to have you on this episode or to have you on the show, and I promise that we will bring you back on for a normal episode at some point in the future.
Wait, and Jason, why did Steve get Twitter?
So that he could stalk you.
Well, listen.
So I could tweet at you, so I could, I could follow your guys' wonderful posts. And
you're my confirmation that I actually posted correctly. If I don't get that immediate favorite and retweet, my two buzzes, I don't trust that I actually posted. And then when it doesn't happen because you're asleep or something, or you're doing something, then I start to go, oh, wait, what happened?
Did it not post to Twitter correctly? Yeah. Did it not?
So, and that happened today. There was a post, and then a couple of seconds later, buzz. I looked down at my watch, buzz. Oh, there it is.
It was great.
It's great. I absolutely appreciate that. Being a fan of other shows and knowing how now knowing what it's like on the other side, like it's awesome to have that kind of support. So,
and speaking of that, actually, one of our other, because obviously Steve was the first two, because I get those buzzes on my phone also. But Chris Collins actually is one of our Twitter follower listeners as well, and he and Steve actually sometimes battle it out
trading
for who will get there first.
Yeah,
and
firsties.
I gotta make that first. I'll start writing first on all of my.
You need to.
But we love it. We love it though. It's great to get people, to get people chatting or even just favoriting and retweeting, because then at least it shows that we're doing this and people are seeing it.
Right. It's not just out into the void. But if they wanted to follow our tweets and things, it would be Flame On Podcast. And if they wanted to check us out, if anyone listening wants to see what we're posting on Facebook, that usually then goes to Twitter, it's Flame On Show.
Or they can just go to flameonshow.com
and find all
and scroll to the bottom of every page, and it's got all of our different social media stuffs. The Instagram, the RSS feed, the SoundCloud,
Tumblr,
email, all of that fun stuff.
Soon, and so soon you also find a link to our, so we are on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud. You will soon find a link on Google Play. They have just announced Google Play will be hosting podcast, or basically republishing, kind of like iTunes. So soon, we've submitted it. Everything's in there. If you are a listener on SoundCloud, you noticed all the logos are now uniformly the same. That's because now everybody is good for Google Play. The resolutions were weird, and we had to make some tweaks. But, that's awesome. I mean, being a Google fanboy, I'm, of course, thrilled that they're doing a big podcast push. But they have reviews. If you're listening and you listen to this episode, you should keep listening, because this is kind of a weird one-off deep dive.
It's our Microsoft. That's what we do.
But you should definitely stay tuned for episode 100, because we're going to have a giant cast, a giant crazy spectacle
And he says that now, it'll be three of us, but still.
No, we're gonna do what we gotta do to make sure that 100 is special. And it would be special if it was three of us. But
they'll be dancing, there'll be stunts. I mean, it's all on podcasts, well, on radio, so you can't really see them, but
there actually will probably be video.
Imagination.
No. We're doing video streaming for this.
Yeah. You'll get to see our 100th episode before it goes out to the public. So,
and we'll have we'll have some kind of way for you guys to interact and chat, and maybe we'll read comments and do stuff. But it's going to be great. It's going to be like the early 2000s cam video all over again.
We have high definition cameras, and I have a new lighting setup that I got for my birthday. Oh, so we could be properly lit.
It's going to be amazing.
And lit from the alcohol intake.
I promise we will finish the chartreuse while we're doing that.
I promise you, I will try to polish off that bottle of 151 that you boys got me for my birthday.
And that may then be the end of Flame On, as we know it, because...
Just don't drink it around any open flames. The fact that it has warnings on the bottle.
It does. And we went out for my birthday, and we got the Scorpion Bowl, which has a shot of 151 in the center that's lit on fire. And I looked at Brian and I said, "You're not supposed to do that. It tells you on the bottle..." Because it could still be on fire even when you blow the flame out.
Yeah. That didn't stop you from drinking
burning
it.
Burning fumes.
It did not stop me from drinking it. I made sure. We blew it out, and then I still waited. I waited a few minutes, and then just tried to suck it dry with my straw.
There you go. Smart.
We will get one of those for the recording. I'll see if I can get one.
There'll definitely be Planner's Punch for the 100th episode.
But that's just in a couple quick episodes. If anyone out there listening, you want to send us a question, you want to send us a comment, you want to record some little thing for us or post us a video, we are absolutely thrilled to have any and all attention that you can give us for our 100th episode, because it's a milestone. Who knows if we'll hit 200? I mean, it's one of those things with podcasts.
Hey, we're hitting
busy people's schedules.
We're hitting 100 a lot faster than y'all hit 50.
That's
so
true. That's
we're pumping
true.
These episodes out for you.
You know, it's going to be great. So, definitely, if you like what you hear, please go find us on social media, talk to us, interact with us, repost us, do all that, and then stay tuned for the exciting 100th.
Well, Steve and Jason, thank you guys so much. This definitely turned into a much deeper dive and a very fun conversation about Bear Bust in general and your trip down here to Orlando. So we appreciate you guys being here with us.
Oh, well, thank you. It was great to be down there with you.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. We really appreciated you guys opening your home for us and showing us the wonders of Bear Bust and Orlando.
Yeah.
I've seen more of Orlando than I had ever seen before. So.
You're welcome. You're
it
welcome.
It isn't just some parks in some other place.
Exactly.
It's not Orlando, as I learned. Yes.
I'm so thrilled, and especially because, you know, I talked about how that was just like a thing that bugs me. Disney World and I Drive, that's Orlando. No.
Disney's technically not even Orlando.
Right.
But hey, Steve, tell our listeners out there, if they would like to interact with you or follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Well, you can always find me on Twitter at one of many Steves, because there are a lot of Steves out there, but I am one of them. So one of many Steves.
Very true.
You can also find me on Facebook, Stephen Morey, Mowry, and I'm Stephen with a PH. Or you can always just shoot me a quick email, Stephen, or thestevemorey @gmail.com.
And you can hear Steve and myself every 2 weeks-ish on Comic Book Bears, and that's over on Comic Book Bears on Facebook and Comic Book Bears on Instagram and Twitter as well, where we do all of the talking about all of the comics. All of the time.
All of the comics.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's a lot of fun. If you're a comic fan, you're not going to find too many shows that get that in depth. And it's talking about a deep dive.
Yeah.
If you
love Valiant, we've been really pushing a lot of Valiant lately.
I almost picked up a Valiant book because of you guys. I was so close, and I will. I'm going to. But every time I go to my store, I'm like, oh, I need to read those books. They do sound really good. That's all thanks to you guys.
You should. And then also, hearing all about Secret Wars that's going on right now. You know, we've got a couple DC guys that are just really into DC.
Bill and
also
Justin.
A lot of indie. We do a lot of indie comics too, so it's you know, not just a big two.
No, we do try to diversify it, and yeah, no, it's great. You should definitely check it out. And I guess that's it. And Jason, do you have anything to plug or promote?
Do you want our fans to stalk you?
I'm a Luddite. I do not participate in the Twitter.
Well, what about what if I wanted a shirt? What if I wanted a shirt with a bird with a pipe on it?
Well, I haven't mass marketed any of them. I just make them one-offs.
I'm just putting it out there into the universe that they're pretty cool, and if people wanted them, you know, I'm just saying.
If you are enticed by, because remember this is a podcast and everybody can see a shirt but us.
That's why I described it.
If that shirt sounds delightful to you, then tweet at Steve and he will bug Jason about it.
A dapper bird shirt,
a little top hat, a little pipe. I wish you could make out a monocle. You should do negative space for the monocle.
I tried to do the monocle. It didn't really turn out real well, so we just kind of cut it out.
All right. Well, hey, the top hat and the pipe works well.
It's great. I'm just saying.
It's
I
a dapper canary.
I love it. If you made him blue, you could totally market to the They Might Be Giants crowd. Right.
Did you guys notice? I hope you noticed by the way.
Did you notice our blue?
Right by the light switch.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. It's been a fantastic chat with you. Brian, thank you for talking all about Bear Bus. That way I didn't have to say it for the 15 millionth time.
You're welcome.
And that will do it for this episode of Flame On. Make sure you check us out. We should be having a special episode drop probably shortly after this episode comes out. And then in 2 weeks, join us right back here for our 100th episode.
Yay. It's going to be a mess.
It'll be live streamed on November 8th. We'll have more details up on our social media as we get them. And I think that about does it. So, flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of Tops and Bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.